Good morning. Take care of that. Now, Sister Latifah, you got me all choked up. I'm going to have to get a drink of water. Amen. This morning, you know, it's not often. I speak a lot here and at other churches, and many times when I'm speaking, I get confirmation, you know, the morning of. This morning, I've been hammered with confirmation. The two speakers that I listened to on TV this morning, one of them actually, I thought he was looking at my notes. And worship service this morning, tributes to mothers. But the Lord has laid a message on my heart, and I am bound because I have promised to serve him until I cannot. I'm going to deliver that message. So would you turn with me in your Bibles, or it should be on the screen. One quick verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. I'm sure the Lord will add a blessing to the reading of his word. Let us pray. Blessed Lord and Heavenly Father, we ask that you would teach us this morning. Take us into your classroom and give us a lesson that we should learn. We ask that we would be hearers and doers as we seek to live for you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. For we walk by faith and not by sight. This is a very, very familiar verse and Christian quote. We have heard it many, many times. And when we think that in Hebrews, Paul writes that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we swing that in, we walk by the evidence of things hoped for. And we walk by the substance of things hoped for, and we walk by the evidence of things not seen. And then later on in that same chapter, in verse 6, he says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. So I'd like to take a look at walking by faith and not by sight. Those verses would indicate to me that for a Christian, someone who has accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and is seeking to live a Christian life, that at some point in time in your life, either before, now, or later on, you will be required to walk by faith and not by sight. I believe it is a Christian prerequisite to walk by faith and not by sight. So let's take a look at this. It's a quick sentence, but we want to look around and see really what's going on. Because Paul has written that sentence to the Corinthians. And if you go back into chapter 4, Paul talks about the fact that he and his fellow group of preachers have been given a gospel to teach. And in that chapter 4, he says that many times believers cannot handle that gospel. They can't see it. But they've been given this gospel to teach. And not only have they been giving it to teach, but they are operating, as he says, from earthen vessels. Now that's a tremendous statement, because what he is saying is, I have a holy, eternal message of salvation. And I'm trying to give this message out. And as I'm giving this message out, I am struggling with this earthen vessel. I am imperfect. I am not ready. I am not capable of giving this message because of my, lack of a better term, my earthiness, my fleshliness. But I have this message. So consequently, he says, as I go about trying to deliver this message to a world who many times does not want to hear it because they don't understand, if you look at verse 8, he describes what the process is. He says, we are troubled on every side. Front, back, left, right. He says, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Let's take a look at those words now, how he's describing them. In the Greek, philobo means troubled. And that word means afflicted and made to suffer. Perplexed, aporeo in the Greek, means to face circumstances and have no way out. You know the proverbial rock in a hard place. Persecuted. Dieko means that exactly what it means. Persecuted. Now, people who persecute and people who get persecuted have almost always the same position. The persecutor is here and the persecuted are down here. He's being persecuted, cast down, being thrown to the ground, being disregarded. And then he says that I have to do all of this with the burden of the flesh. Paul says, writing in Romans, O wretched man that I am. I am constantly at battle with sin, the flesh, and corruption. Sound familiar? If you're a Christian, it should, because it should kind of be your experience. It sounds familiar. If you are making any attempt at all to live the Christian life, to walk, for we walk the Christian life, we are going to run into persecution, distress, perplexity, being cast down, and we are going to ask to battle that with our earthly bodies. Now, we should definitely define walk, okay? That walk is perpetrio, and it does not mean this. Okay, that's walking. I'm walking on this stage. When Paul writes walk, he's talking about your modus operandi. He's talking about how you live your life. What do you use? What manual, what set of policies do you live your life by? That's how you walk. Or modus operandi, your motive of operation, how you go about it. And Paul says that we are to walk or operate or make decisions and operations in our life based on faith and not sight. In Matthew 5, in the Beatitudes, Jesus says, blessed are ye when men revile you. They persecute you and say all manner of evil against you for my sake. We have to deal with that nasty old devil. He's walking around like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. We have to deal with principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. And then we have to deal with our own flesh, our own weaknesses. I tell you, one of the greatest steps in sanctification, in developing your life as a Christian, is realizing how weak and flawed we are. And it's not our fault. We were born into this weakness. We were born into this flawedness. And that is why the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. Now, we've defined walk. We've defined faith. Faith is believing what you can't see. Faith is believing what you hope for. Now, sight. What is sight? What is Paul talking about when he says walking by sight? He's talking about your senses, all of them. The things that you see in this world that to you are troubling. You got a problem? That's sight. I've said from this platform many, many times, everything that Christians worry about is of this world. It's not spiritual. We already have the victory. We don't have to worry about it. You know, my son used to say, Mom, the worst thing that could happen, I could die and go to heaven. Or the best thing that could happen. You see, but we live in a world where we have problems, where the devil creates problems for us, where the world and its flesh creates problems for us, where situations are meant to perplex us, put us in a place where we don't know which way to turn, between a rock and a hard place, to feel persecuted and downtrodden and beat on. Ever been there? You ever been there? Can I get an amen? Amen. I've been there. But Paul is telling us that we are not to make our decisions, not to operate our lives, not to work our lives on what we see. We are to make those decisions on what we believe, on our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the world would have those things take our walk off the track. That's what he's looking to do. There are tons of examples in the Bible of people who have walked by faith. I'm just going to name a few just so we can check in on it. Abraham was told to murder his son. That makes absolutely no sense to anyone. So if Abraham was going to operate from sight, from what the situation was saying, he was going like, nah, I ain't in on this. Count me out. But Abraham operated not on sight, but on faith. Father, where's the lamb? God will provide a lamb. David and Goliath. Here comes this little 16-year-old kid walking up to the battle front. I ain't had no business being there in the first place. And all the Israelite men are trembling. These seasoned veteran soldiers are trembling because they want the situation is such that the Philistines champion, I think they said the captain, he probably was about somewhere between 14 and 15 feet tall, a giant. And the deal was, he said, okay, I am the champion of the Philistines. Send me down an Israelite champion and we will fight. And whoever wins, we'll take the whole war. And nobody was dealing. Now, David is wondering, why is nobody challenging this guy? Because you know why? He wasn't operating by sight. He was operating by faith. You see, and David already had experience. The Lord had helped him defeat a bear and defeat a lion. And he says, why are we shaking at this Philistine when we have the Lord on our side? It makes no sense to me, because he was not looking by sight. He was walking by faith. Joseph, can you imagine Joseph sitting in that wagon after his brothers have sold him into slavery? Can you imagine the thoughts that are running through his mind? And the thing, the amazing thing about that whole situation, if you read the story of Joseph, at no time is there ever any indication of Joseph's wavering from his faith. Wavering from his faith. He always lived for his Lord. He says, how can I do this thing and sin against God? I bet you that wife was fine. She was a good looking woman. And I bet you his boss was probably old and crotchety. So to a human being, it would have almost made sense if he was looking by sight. But he was operating under faith. Elijah was sleeping one day, and a servant came in and said, Elijah, get up, we be in trouble. And we went outside, and the armies of, I forget which one it was, but they were surrounding where Elijah was, because they had been told where he was. And Elijah looked at this poor servant and said, son, you need some faith. You're looking by sight. And he prayed, he said, Lord, show this man what we have going for us. And then the servant saw angels and chariots and legions surrounding. Daniel and those Hebrew boys. Daniel, they're living in a world where they are slaves. Their masters have told them what to do, and they, I'm sure, have seen examples of slaves who have been disobedient. But David said, I'm praying. I mean, Daniel said, I'm praying. I've always prayed, and I'm praying now. Those three boys, do what you want to do, but we're going to serve our God. I read a statement while I was doing my studies, and I read it. I didn't make note of it, so I couldn't find it again, but I remember it. And I wrote it down as I started writing this message. The writer said, faith is for this world and sight is for the next. Make sense? For us, it makes sense. Because eye has not seen and ear has not heard what God has for us. But down here, we need to walk by faith. Now, how's my time doing? I have to tell you, I have in this part of my notes, I have three A's. I have W-A-A-A-Y. Because this is way easier said than done. What I'm talking about, walking by faith and not by sight. I know I'm still working on it. You know, many, many times I have been in Good Tidings Gospel Chapel since November 1952, when my mother brought me here. I was saved in this chapel at 9 years old. I have lived a long Christian life. And there are times right now when sight overtakes me. And I get worried. I get concerned. But I'm getting better at it. I catch myself. I say, what am I worrying about? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Yes. So the question is, how do we, or how can I walk by faith and not by sight? How do we get it done? Well, let's start at the beginning. Here's an oxymoron. You cannot have faith in something that you do not believe in. Does that make sense? If you are here today and you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, there is no such thing as living by faith. It does not happen because whatever you're putting your faith in is not going to work. If it's a person, if it's a place, if it's a thing, if it's money, if it's education, whatever it is that you are putting your faith in, it's not going to work. Jesus came and died because God loves you. There is nobody in this world that God does not love. Nobody. I don't care what you're about. I don't care what you're doing. God loves you. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. And when he meant the world, he meant the world, that he sent his only begotten son. That means that Jesus died for everybody. He died for Putin. He died for the people in Africa. He died for the people in China. He died for the people in Czechoslovakia. He died for India. He died for those people who are on the left. He died for those people who are on the right. He died for those people who have made no distinction. He died for those people who can't decide what side of the fence they fall on. He died and he loves everyone. And what he is offering to you right now in this room, over Zoom, over the telephone, is the door is open for you to be able to walk by faith and not by sight. But you first have to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. This has got to get done. God is saying to you, and I'm talking to the unbelievers right now, God is saying to you, I love you. I love you. And I know that you're walking around and you've had these times when you're saying, how could God let this happen to me? Why am I having this problem? What kind of a God allows me to end up in a situation like this? The kind of God that's waiting for you to come to his side. That's what he's waiting for. Because those situations can all be dealt with by faith, but you got to have faith in God. God has said, you are a sinner. You are condemned already. You're on your way to hell. I sent my son to this world to die for your sins. And if you believe on my son, you immediately become my child. Isn't that what it says in John? To as many as believed him, to them gave he power to become the children of God. So this very morning, this very instant, in the next 10 seconds, if you're not a believer, you can become a child of God. All you have to do is say, Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. I believe in who you are. And until you make that step, until you take that step, there's no walking by faith. You have to just deal with your sight. But the door is open. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but me. In order to make yourself available to walk by faith, you must first come over to God's side. If Christ is not in your life, you are struggling in a world of sin without hope, without a savior, separated from God, and in real need. Jesus came to save the world, to you, from sin and eternal damnation, but you must first address and recognize your need for saving. Second, you have to accept that Jesus Christ is who he says he is, the Son of God, God Almighty, part of the tribute of the triumphant. And at that point that you can do that, you immediately step into a world and a circumstance where God is your Father. You're free from sin's curse and available to receive the benefits of being God's child. You start your walk of faith. It is my sincere desire that anyone within the sound of my voice, that if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, that you take that step now. What are you waiting for? Today is the day of salvation because no one is promised tomorrow. Today, now is the time. I had to finish my message, but I had to say that because you, when we talk about how you walk by faith, I want to say it again. If you don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're walking down a blind alley. So I would say this. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you would like to, you can say that prayer right now. Lord Jesus, save me. Come into my life and save me, and you're saved. If you did that and you're in this room, only thing I would ask you to do is at some point in time after the service, come and tell me that you did it. So I can know that God is in your life. And I can give God the praise, because it ain't me, it's God. If you are on Zoom, I am assuming that the reason why you're on Zoom is because somebody invited you and that person is sitting there waiting for you to make that decision. They will help you. Let them know. If you're on the phone, but let's get back to those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. There are some things that we need to take care of to allow us to walk by faith and not by sight. And I'm going to go fairly quickly because time is going. You want to walk by faith? You need to read this book. And I'll tell you why. Because in this book, is God's identity. It tells you who it is. And it tells you, therefore, who you have placed your faith in. What was that song that we were singing at the start of this thing? I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him, those things that I have entrusted to God, he will keep that until that day. But you can't know that if you don't read his word. You won't know who God is. God is this book and more. But you have to look at the book. It talks about who God is. It talks about that God is the creator of the universe. It talks about God that he is omnipotent. He knows everything. He is all powerful. He is omnipresent. He is everywhere. That's the kind of God I want on my side. But you won't know that if you don't read this book. I'll give you some verses. Matter of fact, let's turn to them. 1 Peter 3 and 18. No, 2 Peter, I'm sorry. 2 Peter 3 and 18. We're going to run through these real quickly. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. In the knowledge of, you have to know who Jesus is. You have to know him personally. John 5 and 21, I just noticed this, that both these verses come at the end of the letter, because Paul is urging the readers of the letter to do this thing. John 5 and 20, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given to us an understanding that we may know him, that we may know him, and that is true. And we are in him. That is true. Even his Son of God. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Colossians 1 and 10. I want to tell you, this is like 0.5% of the references in the Bible that urge you to get to know God. I'm just giving you four of them for time's sake. Colossians 1 and 10. That you might walk, deport yourself, make those decisions, worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. And Timothy 3 and 16, we all know that one, but we'll turn to it anyway. Second Timothy. Here we go. All scripture is given. All scripture. Just think. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. You have to know who God is, because that's who you are putting your faith in. And then, as I wrap up, the second thing you're going to find in this book, oh, praise the Lord. The second thing you're going to find in this book is God has made his people a ton of blessed promises. And God is not a liar. He fulfills his promise. Think about it. I had some down here. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Right? No height, no depth, no principality, no power can separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. The promise is run. I have plans for you. Plans for good and not evil. Only stand. This book is full of things that you can allow you to operate by faith. So what does this mean? Well, how do we end this up? Here's the situation. God says, he who honoreth me, him will I honor. Okay? And that's another thing that you have to learn, because you have to learn what God is telling you to do. He has instructions. This is an instruction booklet. So that when you get to a situation where you are perplexed, where you are persecuted, where you're in a rock and a hard place and you do not know what to do, you have to turn and do what God say do. Listen, if I can only tell you that I have to testify. I would be remiss if I did not testify that in my life, I have seen God make a way for me when there was no way. It's happened. And if you're a Christian and you've been a Christian for any amount of time, it's happened to you. I know it's happened to you. I don't know how God does it. I have no idea, because I'm just a little old man and he is God Almighty. But God says, walk by faith and not by sight. Do what God tells you to do. If you have a decision to make, make the decision according to what God would have you to do. If you have a choice, you take the godly choice. If you have an action to take, walk the way Christ would want you to walk. Speak the way Christ would want you to speak. Care about people the way Christ would want you to care about people. And as you continue to do that, I guarantee you, and it's not my guarantee you, it's the guarantee of God Almighty, that he is going to work it out for you. He is going to work it out for you. You know, they're playing the NBA finals right now. They're playoffs and they're working hard, and two teams are going to get down to the championship series and they're going to play and they're going to be a championship game. Well, I'm telling you, in the game of life, when the championship game is over, we won. Walk by faith, not by sight. May the good Lord bless you and keep you. Amen.